that's God's way of saying, oh no, you don't have to preach today. I'm better than you. I'd like to start off with a comment. Oh Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name. You never fail to help and govern those who have set upon the sure foundation, and it goes on. Once in a while, the colics, for me personally, aren't quite up to par. How's that? God never makes us love him. God never makes us have reverence for him. If God made us love him, and if God made us have reverence for him, then there would be no free will, and that's the gift he has given us. It's our choice. And also, we would be robots then. And what fun is that? What really true love is that if we're forced to love? Or if we love because we're afraid? That's not love. And that's not what God wants. But God does set us upon the sure foundation of his loving kindness. And who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our sure foundation. And Jesus Christ teaches us personally how we are to love. Now what's interesting is when we go to Isaiah, God is saying to the Israelites, his chosen people, he said, I was ready to be sought out by you. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. And God said to the nation, he says, here I am, here I am. But they didn't pay attention. He held out his hand to a rebellious people, but they ignored him. Have you ever been anywhere where you held out your hand to greet somebody and they blew you off and they didn't reach back? They just totally ignored you? Have you ever done that? Or has somebody ever done that to you? Can you imagine doing that to God Almighty, our Creator, our lover of our souls, our Sustainer, who sent Jesus Christ? They totally blew God away. But still, he loved them and pursued them. What did they choose? Did they choose God? No. They stuck their heads in the sand. They ignored God and they turned to their own devices. And they got in more trouble and more trouble and more trouble. To the point where they would pray and they even would say, oh, keep to yourself, don't come near me because, oh, I'm too holy. Whenever we think that we're too holy or we're better Christians than someone else, including God Almighty, that's a clue we're getting in worse shape. But then, what does Isaiah prophesy? He goes on and he says, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servant's sake and not destroy them all. And he will bring forth descendants from Jacob and Judah, and from Judah, who are inheritors of his holy mountain. And he says, my chosen shall inherit. So if we pick our heads up out of the sand and we turn to God rather than our own devices, we are his servants because we're serving God. We are his chosen because we are trying to follow his ways so that we will be able to settle in the land, in the heavenly kingdom of our Lord. And even St. Paul says, whoever is baptized, we're going to inherit the promises of our God, of our Lord. And that's us. But then we get to Luke. And this is an interesting gospel. It's hard to kind of chop down and only preach about a certain amount. But here Jesus gets in to the Gerasenes, a country that, or an area that is opposite Galilee. And as he got out of his boat and he stepped on the land, who met him? A man who was filled with many, many demons. In fact, this man, if we met him, we'd consider a raving lunatic. He was naked, he was crazy, and he was shouting. But what did he shout? He shouted, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Well, here he is, a raving lunatic, possessed by many, many, many demons. But the demons recognized God. Now here we have the Israelites, the chosen people of Israel, the chosen people of God, who didn't recognize the Lord. But we've got the demons that are recognizing who is right in front of them. That teaches us a lot of humility. So what happens? Does Jesus run away? No, because Jesus is all powerful. Jesus has power over nature, over the demons, over all of creation. He has power over Satan. He has power over all people, Jews, Gentiles, males, females, slaves, and free. We have to remember that Jesus is more powerful than anything. So no, he doesn't run away. He stands there and he says to them, "What's your name?" And the man says, "Legion," and we know why. So Jesus has mercy and he has the demons not go into the abyss and they go into the herd of the pigs. Well, then what happens? We have a group from the city and they go up and they're just absolutely flabbergasted. They just can't understand what's happened to this man. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes ask Jesus to lead them. So what does it tell us about these people? Well, they didn't want to rock the boat. They really didn't even want this man to be healed, the man who was possessed. They wanted to leave status quo where it was. They didn't want to have the man be healed and have him come back and live with them. They didn't want to ask Jesus any questions and possibly learn who and what he was. They didn't want to ask him, what is God all about? How are we supposed to love? How are we to care for one another? And then they didn't want to learn too much because they would think, oh no, we might have to change ourselves. We might have to grow. We might have to love this man that was crazy but now is healed. And have responsibility to bring more to be healed to the Lord. So for them, what did they do? Not only did they choose to ignore Jesus, but they went further. They asked him to leave. They basically said to him, "Well, what's the hurry? Here's your hat. Close the door on your way out." That's even worse than just ignoring. They were afraid and they asked him to leave. They weren't willing to turn to God. They chose to turn to their own vices. They had problems and they figured they could handle them themselves. When we have good or bad times, when we have difficult decisions to make, when we have changes in our lives or problems or choices, who do we turn to? Do we trust in ourselves more to handle our problems than God? Or do we take the time and intentionally turn to God? Turn to the Bible. Read the Bible. Pray. Come to church. Listen to the music during the winter and the summer. Or do we talk to our Christian friends and be encouraged and listen to our Christian friends, those who really love and serve the Lord? Do we turn to our own devices or do we trust in the Lord, even though we might be filled with depression? We might be afraid some days, have stress and anxiety that we feel totally overwhelmed and that we can't cope. We can turn to the Lord because He is always there. Even graduation for Nick and for all the kids, even graduation is a time to turn to the Lord, because even though it's fun and it's exciting, it's a scary time because things change for them, for their families, all of us, for graduation. Maybe we've lost a job. Maybe we've lost some money. Maybe we lost a dear friend or a loved one who's died. Think about the people who are in the Gulf or in the Midwest with the floods and the tornadoes. Maybe California with the earthquakes or the volcanoes, the hurricanes that might come. Think of the fear and the anxiety that all of us face at times. So what do we choose? We choose to follow the Lord because He is our Savior and He is always with us, always reaching out His hand to hold on to us, to love us, to guide us, to nurture us, to never let us go, because Jesus will not abandon us. And I found a little, I don't know if you call it a prayer or not, but I found this and I really loved it. And I'd like to end with this prayer. Tear doubt from your heart and do not allow it to hinder you from praying. You ask, how can I beg anything from God, I who have sinned so much? Never think like this. Instead, turn to God with your whole heart. Pray without wavering, and you will come to know His great mercy. He will never desert you, but will fulfill your heart's request. For He is not like men who harbor grudges. No, He does not remember evil. He has compassion.